committee to order. We have Sanders Hoffman, Menard, and Sturzaluski. We have two bills before us today. House Bill 512, the educational goals, and we have a proposed committee substitute on that, and we'll also hear House Bill 438, Medicaid for Certain Disabled Children. And other than bills coming over, we have no further bills in the committee. Is that not right?
That's correct.
That is correct. Let's take a look. Representative Ellis, would you join us, please? In the, where's the one that's messed up here?
It's got some name on it.
Let's see here. I need to get, I maybe took that out. You should, does everybody have one in their office?
No, yours is the only one that's marked up.
Oh, but everybody has a CS. It would be work draft 7LS. 2052-M. Do you have that? The 5592. Representative Ellis, would you walk us through some of the changes, please?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The concern that arose yesterday had to do with some of the Alaska 2000 language that was inserted into the last draft in the interest of accommodating that group, and some of us felt that their technology subcommittee had gone a little overboard in inclusion of their language here. We worked with several of the interested parties, especially Steve McFeeters, to eliminate some of that language, to delete the fear factor on the part of districts in terms of new technological requirements. And I'll just reiterate to the committee that this is a goal to shoot for. So we've toned down that section of the bill on page 3. And with that, that's just about, there's still other changes in here that were suggested by Alaska 2000. So I think it's a good blending of National Federation of Independent Businesses, Alaska Ready to Work, Boards of Education, Alaska 2000. It's definitely a consensus document.
I'm curious, section 2 and page 1, the mission, an excellent statement. Did that come from someplace, or was that a composite of
Madam Chair,
a number of inputs?
It's a reworking of what's the one sentence. That's all we have currently in state statute. It's an expansion of that, and this is for the first time that we've mentioned the role of all of these parties here on line 11, students, parents, schools, and the community to achieve the mission described in this section. And parents, that comes to us from the Parent Teachers Association. All studies in school reform have shown that parents, if not involved and engaged in the educational process, children don't perform as well as they could. And the community, that was suggested to me by the WISE, they didn't suggest it to me, but I was involved with that on those subcommittees, and that's where that came from. So it's just a recognition that all these folks need to play a part to maximize student outcomes, or we don't do as well as we could.
You don't want to break down in that at any further, and community is the broad, takes in many things, but I'm absolutely convinced that the bureaucracy, the system, social services, all the rest, that there have to be far more cooperative efforts. And I think community is broad. It's broad enough, and
that's,
I'm not suggesting
term,
any, but I think that's the next way we go, that there's a responsibility across really broad lines for education. Are there questions of the committee? Anything else, Representative Ellis?
Oh, that's it, Madam Chair. Fine. I appreciate your work.
Fine, you can continue to join us. Are there others that would like to speak on this? If not, the public hearing is closed. What's the pleasure of the committee?
Madam Chairman, I move for the adoption of the CS.
All right, we have a motion for adoption of the CS. Discussion. Hearing no objection, so ordered. And now, move the bill, please.
Move the bill with individual recommendations.
Is there discussion, objection? Hearing none, so ordered. We'll now take up committee for CS for House Bill number 438, Finance, Medicaid Eligibility of Persons Who Are Eligible to Be Institutionalized but Are Not in Institutions Relating to Medicaid, Rendering reordering priorities assigned to groups of persons served under Medicaid and providing for effective date. Representative Ellenson.
Madam Chair, thank you very much for having this bill before you. House Bill 438, I know that all of you have heard from families across the state who are very frustrated with the inflexibility in our Medicaid system. A Medicaid system funded by the state and federal government that says to you, if you're a family with a disabled child who needs health services that are very expensive in our society, many people aren't covered to pay for those, that if you will give up your child, essentially abandon your child and put them in an expensive nursing home, that care can average anywhere from $5,000 to $7,000 a month, that the taxpayers of the state and the federal government will pay for that expensive care. But that if you choose to keep your family together and keep that disabled child home and in the care of the family where they're loved and nurtured to a greater extent, that the federal government and state won't pay for any of that service, any of that in-home care to keep your family together, even though it can be only a third of the cost of nursing home care. That's never made sense to anybody. There have been numerous articles in the newspaper. We all read those and are astounded that this could be the situation. But you know, the fault is really ours, because the federal government has given us this flexibility for years through Medicaid waivers and options, and we're about one of the last states in the country to take advantage of that flexibility. So this legislation represents a major compromise between myself and the administration. It's an outgrowth of Project Choice that you all are very familiar with. And I wanted to be able to go into options immediately. The administration's position is that they would like to apply for waivers first, so it will be a longer process. It will be several years before planning and we get to the Medicaid options, but waivers and options offer different kinds of arrangements for family-based services. And so I've compromised and the cost has come down, and there are a lot of details we could go into the fiscal note, and Dave Williams is here as well to go over some of those details, but this is known as the TEFRA option, the Katie Beckett bill, or the Alaskan child is Brianna Hurley, who's sort of become, her family sort of become the symbol for this need. So the families aren't really satisfied. They'd like to know that their child could be taken care of much sooner, but this is a compromise and it's going to take longer, but we will be building into the flexibility to discount parental income in provision of these services and in the interest of keeping families together and ultimately saving the state money.
Representative Goss, I appreciate your taking leadership. We have had discussions and presentations about both the options and the waivers, and I really want to compliment the department this year. I think they're really attempting to move in a number of directions, and we've had a lot of legislation through that expands our access to the federal funds, and I think the department is really trying to get a hold of a very complex area, and I too wish we could go further, but I think this begins the process.
And Madam Chair, I
understand. Yeah, it's a tough one, and it never goes fast enough. We can assume there will be those that will follow this, because I think we're just beginning. Are there questions of Representative Ellis? Yes.
Madam Chair, just on the fiscal note, this. It starts out in 96, Representative Ellis. How is that working? Am I looking at the right one?
Yeah, there should be three fiscal notes
yes.
there.
Okay.
Currently, within our operating budget proposal on the House and Senate side, and it will meet in conference, there is over $500,000 for this process of applying for Medicaid waivers. And it will be at least a two-year process where the department is using those funds to apply for Medicaid waivers. Medicaid waivers are based on an empty bed rule. It's based on the level of institutionalization in your state, and the definition of at-risk or qualifying for institutionalization is very key in this whole process. But we'll have at least a two-year track record with serving families through waivers. We know that we will not serve all the families through waivers, and some will need options, so this kicks in 2 years later. So that was the compromise. The department wanted a track record of several years of seeing how many they could serve with waivers. And I don't think they'll be able to serve all of them, so families will wait 2 or 3 years to get to a Medicaid option with this. But that's why there's a delay in the impact of the fiscal.
Mr. Williams, Dave, will you come up? And is there anything you'd like to add or state regarding the department's position?
Yes, Madam Chair, thank you. You have a position paper from the department. What I want to add is the position paper you have was on the original bill. And what I want to say is that we pointed out in there some concerns that we had, and as Representative Ellis has said, we had some concerns about the waiver and the option starting too close together. This bill pretty much addresses our concerns, so we don't have problems with this bill. And yes, the fiscal note pretty much offers a zero cost for a couple of years. There's a little bit of cost up front, but not much. And it's pretty much because we intend to serve the population with the waiver. There would probably be a few that would use the option if we were out there, though. Mm-hmm. So that's why it reflects that.
Mm-hmm. Representative Ellis, had you wanted the House Finance Committee letter of intent to go forward?
Yes, I would ask you to consider that.
The committee would look at that. It's right after the bill, and you'll see a... That sounds very logical to me. Dave, was there anything additional you wanted to say?
On the letter of intent, I would just say that next week we're meeting with the Governor's Council and DMHDD, mm-hmm. DMA, and the Older Alaskans Commission to consider what role the parents can play in this thing. We don't intend to exclude them whatsoever, so mm-hmm. we do want their input. I need to say this, though, that we have been negotiating throughout the session with the folks back in D.C. who do this thing and say yes or no to us. And the word I'm getting from them is encouraging. It's almost too encouraging, so that it sounds like we are really going to put this thing on a fast track.
Great.
Going to push it hard. It's not going to take us 2 years to get this going. We had originally planned on shooting for a year. I think that's what we'll do. We'll probably have to shift some of the application or work with the folks in Baltimore. We'll probably shift some of that forward because we have an election coming up national, and we like the way it looks right now. Got some green lights back there.
Oh, so. Which is a good time for us to be mm-hmm. involved in a number of areas.
Right.
Good.
Yes, that's true.
Are there questions of Mr. Williams? Fine, thank you very much, Chef.
Thank you.
Dave. Was there anyone else that wished to be heard on this? If not, the public hearing is closed. What's the pleasure of the committee?
Well, Madam Chair, I'll go ahead and move CS for House Bill 438 out of Committee with Individual Recommendations and also the letter of intent.
We have motion to move the bill with the letter of intent and accompanying fiscal notes. Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Cool.
Get the best. All right.